Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
If you want to go further and add some fun and versatility into your hunting program, check out Can-Am's Defender. Pretty soon I'm headed to my buddy Doug's, and we're going to be running around in Doug's Can-Am because it's like, it's fun. You can get around quietly, easily, all over his property. It's just versatile. Oh, I love it. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online and get serious about backcountry travel, visit CanAmOffroad.com. Turn something that you kind of dread driving around into something you love. Visit CanAmOffroad.com. Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood Pellet Grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill.
It's a meaty podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Seafoam Motor Treatment, a proud podcast sponsor of Meat Eater. Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Stephen Ranella, Giannis Poutelis, Brody Henderson, Randall Williams, Seth Morris, Corinne Schneider, Dr. Randall, Ryan Callahan, and Dan Adute. Now, Dan, this is your first time on the show. How do you feel about your chances at Meat Eater Trivia?
I am going to do so well.
Okay. How well?
You're going to rename this the Dan Adute Meat Eater Trivia Hour.
Mm. The confidence is real. Dan is the only one to ever suggest putting a dollar down on the game. So we now have a stack of cash sitting in the middle of the table.
A stack of $3 bills.
There's four. There's
I thought it was bigger than that. Okay. Dan started that, though, wanting to bet on this game. Steve, you've had an hour or two to suss out Dan. How do you think he's going to fare?
I bet that when I just listen. I don't mean to be mean. I don't want to answer that.
I can take it. No, I can take it.
I bet you when Phil does who's in and out at 8, you're out.
Listen, being in and out by 8, that ain't bad.
No, I was out by 8 the other day.
Yeah, long
before. I haven't won in forever.
Steve is usually quite bullish on our guest ability, Dan. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard him be that down before, so I'm looking forward to
you proving. Wait, is that true?
Prove him wrong. It's true. Prove him wrong, Dan.
Oh, yo, this is for all the coastal elites listening. I will represent.
Maybe not well, though.
No.
We'll
see.
You'll be their coxswain? Is that what you're saying?
The coxswain?
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Did I pronounce it wrong?
Yeah. Wow. You know what? You're going to be out by question number 5.
Now, Cal pointed out, Cal wasn't even supposed to be on this episode, but he wanted to stick around because he has yet to get to witness Steve versus Brody versus Dr. Randall. And Cal said, I have to sacrifice my next hour to be here to watch this unfold.
But he's playing.
He's playing, okay. But he's also here for the show.
Damn, let's make it a good show, guys. I wasn't included in that.
Those are Cal's words.
In that grouping, Cal.
Cal's words.
I know.
Yeah, same.
Well, it's because you don't display the same characteristics that have me intrigued.
Oh, I know. Yesterday, remember
from a social
situation.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
this is a 10-round quiz show with questions from Meat Eater's 4 verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking, and there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. And for the stat of the week this week, we're looking at Phil's performance in Meat Eater Trivia. Now, Before this show had really found its identity, Phil was playing along as well as keeping score and running all the sound effects, but then he declared one day that it was too much to do all three things, so he kindly gave up playing so he could better run the soundboard and scoreboard. Prior to that, though, Phil competed in 7 games. His best category was cooking, where he got 64% of questions right. His worst category was hunting, where he got 18% of questions right. Phil's best performance was in episode 294, where he got 5 right and finished just 1 point behind Steve. Was that a monumental day, Phil?
It was kind of before the show became the show, and before, like, you know, people got egos and things of that nature. So yeah, it was more fun than monumental. I was having a good time.
Yeah. Do you miss the days of having a whiteboard
in
your
all.
Hand?
No. Okay. It's too high pressure. But as soon as I take over this company in like a bloody coup and I change the trivia to Star Wars and video games, you guys are so screwed.
Now here's our 0% of question of the week, which tests how much knowledge players have retained from previous games. This question was from episode 343. The topic was conservation, and nobody got it right. Which of these is not one of the 5 tools of wildlife management listed in the 1949 book, A Sand County Almanac? Axe, cow, water, gun. Which of those was not one of the 5 tools?
No one got this right.
Nobody got this right. Axe, cow, water, gun. What would be your guess, Steve?
Cow.
And you've been given the hint. No, that's wrong.
Water
is right. Nobody got that right, though, the time we played. This question was especially notable because it was the first time we ever had a multiple choice question where no one got the right answer. Now, in a previous game of trivia, long, long ago, we had a question about who the 19-year-old was from the movie Into the Wild that died in the Alaskan wilderness.
I got that right.
Now, the correct answer was Christopher McCandless, but I also awarded credit to Steve for his answer. Steve, remind folks of how that went and why you felt you got it right.
This was a horrible
His other name.
Was I put down Alexander Supertramp? Mm-hmm. Because that's what he called himself. And if 2022 taught you anything, is it what you call yourself is what you are.
Okay. For instance, Dr. Randall Williams.
Yes.
Never called myself that.
Always identifies as Dr.
Never
Randall Williams.
Never called myself that.
And we changed his name to Alexander Supertramp.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jeff Swayze wrote in to say that he believes Steve shouldn't have gotten this right, and here's why.
He's a little late to the game.
Although McCandless did temporarily refer to himself as Alexander Supertramp, in his final communication with the outside world, he dropped the moniker. Here is his last letter, which he taped to his bus door. Take it away, Phil.
Attention possible visitors. SOS. I need your help. I am injured, near death, and too weak to hike out of here. I am all alone. This is no joke. In the name of God, please remain to save me. I am out collecting berries close by and shall return this evening. Thank you. Signed, Chris McCandless.
He was no longer Alexander Supertramp, Steve.
He was also in a distressed state.
Okay.
So he wasn't himself.
He had blurry judgment at that point.
Did Steve win that game of trivia?
I don't recall.
I used to win all the time back then.
Oh, you don't have this information if it affected the outcome?
We can revisit it later. You know what? I still feel fine about giving you credit for Alexander Supertramp. That was even a deeper cut than I think knowing Chris McCandless.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll still give you that point.
I still
later.
Feel fine about favoring my employer. I mean,
9 times count. Out of 10, I am, yeah.
Now, the Shelby Index for today's game is a 3.5, so our winner should get 7 correct answers. And with that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question 1. The topic is conservation, and this will be multiple choice. Which of these states has the highest population of wolves? Is it Oregon, Michigan, Montana, or Minnesota? Which of these states has the highest population of wolves? Oregon, Michigan, Montana, or Minnesota? Some very confident answers in the room. I'm surprised at how quick everyone was to come up with an answer. Steve, you gonna get this one right?
Mm-hmm.
Oregon, Michigan, Montana, Minnesota.
Perfect game. Off to a start.
Now, Dan, I heard you just visited Yellowstone recently. Did you get to see any wolves there?
I saw so many wolves.
Really?
No.
Oh.
But I saw that everyone here answered quick enough, and we're in Montana, that I'm assuming this is local.
Okay, go ahead and reveal your answers before we give away too many hints. Steve saying Minnesota. Dan saying Montana. Brody saying Minnesota. Corinne saying Minnesota. Cal saying Michigan. Seth and Randall saying Minnesota. Giannis saying Michigan. The correct answer is Minnesota.
Show!
The room did pretty well. After Alaska, Minnesota has the highest wolf population in the nation. With a population of 2,700 wolves, Minnesota is home to about half of all wolves that live in the lower 48. Montana has about 1,200 wolves, Michigan has about 600, and Oregon has about 200. Question two. The topic is fishing. This next great question comes to us via my nephew, Archie Mathiason. If you have a question you think is right for trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com.
Did he text it to you or email it to the official email address?
His mother texted it to me.
How old is Archie?
Nepotism here.
Archie, I think, is about 10.
You're a pretty good uncle.
Oh, thank you.
I feel like I've picked up little snippets here and there to suggest you're good at being an uncle.
You know, I think being an uncle is easy. I'm the funcle. I'm the fun uncle. But when they're like 10 and 12 years old and they have all the same interests, like hunting, fishing, sports, it's pretty easy.
Shine through.
It's easy to be
a good
uncle.
Oh, you got a house full of rocks?
That's right. They like rocks as well.
Yeah.
Here's a question from Archie. The fishing lure pattern that has red, blue, and yellow dots on a white background is named after this grocery store staple. The fishing lure pattern that has red, blue, and yellow dots on a white background is named after this grocery store staple. Quick answer from Dan and Brody.
Brody wrote quick.
Giannis and Steve seem stumped. Seth, are you going to get this one right?
100%.
Here's the question again. The fishing lure pattern that has red, blue, and yellow dots on a white background is named after this grocery store staple. Brody, you have this one right as well?
100%.
Okay.
Dang.
You're getting into Steve and Yanni's head here.
Trying to.
Yeah. Very confident on the other side of the table.
Steve's doing a lot of writing and erasing over there.
Well, let me tell you something. My marker's not, I wouldn't call it a dry erase marker.
Is that why you can't come up with the answer?
That's the issue. We have other
Throw
choices.
Me off. I got a lot of energy going into racing something.
Can't focus on the question.
I know very little about fishing.
You
but
think
I know,
you know
a
this
lot
one?
About supermarket staples.
Okay.
Don't talk so too you, much or you'll get in real trouble.
Do you think you have this one right, Dan?
It's
like sliced cheddar.
Do you think you have this one right, Dan?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Yanni and Steve might slip up. Corinne, it seemed like it came to you over there. Do you have the right answer? Okay. Is everybody ready? Yanni, I think we're waiting on you.
I'm not. All right, go ahead.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying bubblegum. Dan saying Wonder. Brody saying Wonder Bread. Corinne saying Wonder Bread. Cal saying,
"Why'd you write white bread?"
You stole it from somebody. White bread. Seth saying Wonder Bread.
Wonder
Randall saying
mark.
Wonder Bread. Giannis saying popcorn.
He's looking at
the correct
board.
Answer is Wonder Bread. Dan, I think we'll give it to you.
Yes.
First of all,
I'm being accused of cheating.
He saw someone write the word Wonder, but didn't know how to finish it. How did you get that far and not get to the end?
Because I thought it was the company is Wonder. The company's not Wonder Bread. It's a bread made by the Wonder Company. So I thought
maybe
it's
Wonder.
Wonder
Bread. I'm going to give it to you, Dan.
Thank you.
The guest always needs
bread?
Some help. Now, Cal has
Eddie's.
Wait, that was patronizing. I did not need help on that.
Usually our guest gets three or four.
When
right.
I looked at you had Wonder and didn't finish it, I thought you caught a glimpse of something.
Like maybe over on my board.
Uh-huh.
Wow.
What was your guess?
This is tough. Well,
I didn't get it right, but I'm not afraid to say it.
I 100% swear I did not cheat. I did not look at your board. I'm telling you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We know things about you and forest fires, you know.
Okay, that was another episode. We don't need to bring that up.
Now, Wonder Bread and its iconic packaging have been around since the 1920s, but the use of it on fishing lures didn't catch on until about 20 years ago. The pattern is now mass-produced by companies like Rapala and Little Cleo, making it a popular choice for anglers targeting salmon, walleye, bass, and panfish. As one fishing guide eloquently put it in a 2020 article, the Wonder Bread pattern is the best thing since sliced bread.
What do you think about that, Seth? You like it?
I like it. It's not my most confident color, but I use it mostly through the ice.
Yeah. It's fun to have around. It doesn't match anything else in the lake. But if you're worried about getting something's attention, that'll do it. Question three. The topic is cooking. This meal is often referred to as Jewish penicillin because of its medicinal value. This meal is often referred to as Jewish penicillin because of its medicinal value.
Dan with a confident answer. Jewish penicillin.
Now, Dan, I often throw our guests a bone. One question that I feel like is squarely in their wheelhouse. When I go to your website, I think the first stand-up bit I watched was about being Jewish. Your bio said something about being growing up in a Jewish household. Your Wikipedia entry, I think the first line says Dan Adute is a Jewish actor, writer, comedian.
So profiling,
go so far. Yeah. Go so far. So call this guy proud.
Let's get HR in here really quick.
So I am throwing a bone to you on question three here, and you look confident that you're going to get this one right.
I am. However, it has nothing to do with my Jewishness.
Okay.
Because this is an Ashkenazi Jewish thing. I'm an Iranian Jew, which is Sephardic Jew. This is not part of my culture. But as a coastal elite, surrounded by Jews, I know that Jewish.
Oh, don't reveal yet.
Oh, hold on.
I'm still right.
People are struggling, Dan. Oh, this could put you in the lead here.
Good.
What's the question again?
There it is. This meal is often referred to as Jewish penicillin because of its medicinal value. Is everybody ready? Steve, are you going to get this one right?
I don't think so.
Steve has oft excelled in questions in this category because you once had a Jewish girlfriend, you've proclaimed.
I learned a little, yeah. I wound up knowing more about Judaism than she did.
But you're not going to get this one
right.
It's
a bold statement, I know.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying matzo ball soup. Dan saying chicken soup. Brody saying chicken noodle soup. Corinne saying, what's that say, Corinne?
Gefilte fish.
Gefilte fish.
Cal saying matzo ball soup. Seth saying blue cheese. Randall saying matzo ball soup. Giannis saying matzo ball soup. The correct answer is chicken soup or matzo ball soup. Either one of them.
Are we giving it to Brody?
We'll give it to Brody. Oh,
I feel like it's
different,
though.
Are there noodles?
Sometimes
there are noodles. As the resident Jew today,
but
Corinne, aren't you half Jewish?
With my boards.
Yeah, and you put gefilte fish.
I just couldn't think it was chicken noodle soup.
A Jewish physician was one of the first to recommend chicken soup for curing illnesses in the 12th century.
By the way, Jewish physician is redundant.
Okay. That's good. This claim was backed up by research at the University of Nebraska, which proved that chicken soup slows inflammation associated with colds and flu. The Jewish penicillin moniker gained popularity in America after World War II. Question four. The topic is woodsmanship. This next great question comes to us via Daniel McCarthy. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. The presence of this compound, which is often associated with red wine, is what makes some acorns more bitter than others. The presence of this compound, which is often associated with red wine, is what makes some acorns more bitter than others. Yanni, you going to get this one right?
I believe so.
Do you have a lot of acorns on your property in Wisconsin?
Some years.
Okay. Is that something you talk about in fall? Which acorns are they hitting?
Yeah, I'm just starting to pay attention to that, so I will be talking more and more about it.
Again, the presence of this compound, which is often associated with red wine, is what makes some acorns more bitter than others.
You know, I learned the other day, listening to the Wired Hunt podcast, mm-hmm. old episode, number 161, was that some oaks never will produce acorns. They're simply not producers. And the guy was saying, cut them down! So that your producers
Man,
and your,
that's bold.
Your super producers.
And it'll never produce. It's not just that it's having a bad couple years.
Yeah, he said, watch your stand for 3 years, and he said, you'll know which trees are going to keep producing and which trees are never going
to
produce.
I'd like to take that one to Bubbly Doug.
Pat Durkin has a great article on our website about the reality of trying to fertilize oak trees. Mm-hmm. It's a thing that a lot of habitat managers try to do, but we don't quite know everything about how it works. A lot of misconceptions. Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answer. We have Steve saying tannic acid. Dan.
Well, it's not all I said.
What is, in parentheses, he says tannins. Dan saying tannins. Brody saying tannins. Corinne saying
I think I'm the only one to get it right.
Tannins. Cal saying tannin. Everybody says tannin. Everybody got it right.
No, it's tannic acid.
The correct answer is tannins.
According, no, there are many tannins. That's not a comp. Tannins isn't a compound.
We're going to give it folks who said tannins. According to biologists, acorns from white oak trees are preferred by wildlife because of their low tannin levels. This gives them more of a sweet flavor than acidic flavor, which is common with red oaks, black oaks, and pin oaks. The tannins in wine often come from the skin and seeds of fruit.
What did Dr. Williams have?
He got it right.
Did all the way right or just a little right?
I think by the rules of the room, I got it all the way right. I think by your rules, I did not get it right.
Question five, the topic is hunting. Who is the author of the hunting novel Death in the Long Grass?
You already did this.
Never done this before. Who is the author of the hunting novel Death in the Long Grass? Corinne has not picked up her board yet.
No, I just don't know that.
Have no guess? Okay. Rest of the room looks fairly confident.
Great book.
Great. You've read it?
Yes.
Okay.
You should add that to the Meteor Book Club.
Good idea,
list.
Yanni. Does everybody have an answer?
I got two. Is that a problem?
I think it is. For thinking we've done this question before, you should be more confident. Cal, you have an answer?
I know. I'm just spacing.
Okay.
Oh, is Brody thinking too?
No answer.
Brody, are you thinking? Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it with all these book writers in the room.
Oh, don't worry. I put my answer in right away.
I'm trying to decide.
Randall, how are we doing over there? Are you going to get this one right?
I feel pretty good about it.
Have you read this book?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh.
I can picture it on my shelf.
Did that help you, Cal?
Well, I swear to God, just popped in my head.
The one I got and then the one I crossed out.
We can do that. Cal is the only one I've ever seen.
Oh, I know the one that you got. Can I guess if I know both of the ones that he wrote?
You can write down what you think Steve's other answer is.
I'll give you my dollar out of that bet. I'll take my dollar back out of that bet and give it to you if you know what I got written down. Is that okay, Dan?
Yeah, that's okay.
Kind of like messes up the whole bet.
It doesn't matter.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answer. We have Steve saying Zane Grey. He crossed out Capstick. Dan saying...
No, I meant to cross out Zane Grey.
Dan saying Johnny McHuntsalot. Brody saying Pete Capstick. What's below that?
Hathaway.
Corinne without an answer. Cal without an answer.
It's
Seth
Capstick.
Without an answer. Randall saying Peter Hathaway Capstick. Giannis saying Peter Capstick. The correct answer is Peter Capstick.
Can I get it? Because
do we count Brody's? Do we count Brody's?
We'll count Brody's.
What'd he write?
He went first name, last name, middle name.
Can I see what he got, Brody?
We'll give it to
him. I'll decide.
So where they do it in the Dewey Devil.
This is what it's...
The correct answer again is Peter Capstick.
Look, I got
Capstick.
All three names on there.
That was Capstick's first book.
Can we revisit this for a minute?
What do you got?
My board.
Steve crossed out Capstick.
Or did he underline it?
That's a succession reference?
Succession, yeah.
That was Cap. Chapstick's first book. Before he became a professional hunter in Africa, he worked as a stockbroker on Wall Street. Chapstick was also the hunting and fishing director at Winchester, which took him on his first trip to Africa. The famous author died in 1996 at the age of 56 after complications from heart surgery. Phil, we are halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
I didn't know that about him.
In last place with 2 points is Ryan Callahan. Coming up next are Steve, Seth, Giannis, and Dan, all tied up with 3 points.
Still in the game.
Oh, Corinne also has 3 points, excuse me. And then in
Corinne,
first place.
Good work.
Yes, in first place are Brody and Randall with 5 points apiece.
Oh my God.
Nerds.
Like a 2-point lead.
5 questions left.
I'm keeping up with Dr. Randall.
Dr. Randall isn't even allowed a Venmo or a PayPal.
No.
Yeah, I've said it before and I'll say it 1,000 times more. If you got a family, and you got people that rely on you, you need to take life insurance seriously. And Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. So with Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million in coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Your life insurance policy, you know, that you get at work may not offer enough protection for your family's needs. Policy Genius gives you unbiased advice from a licensed expert support team. Now, this is super convenient, right? Because a lot of times, you know, something like life insurance, you're just going to put it off because you're like, when will I ever have time to do that? And I don't even know who to talk to about it. Well, this helps you do it online. Okay, again, you're comparing options from top companies, all right? Check life insurance off your to-do list in no time with Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear, what I like to do, on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, which gives you great smoke at 180 degrees, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. This is my way of bold statement. If I was going to cook roast one way, that's how I like to do it, sear roast. Utilize the smoke boost setting to intensify that smoky flavor. Direct flame cooking creates searing, crisping, and browning. Food is going to look as good as it tastes. This grill gets hot in 15 minutes. Cleanup is easy. Cook confidently with intuitive digital controls at the grill and enjoy the sleek, easy-to-use surface. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill. You can go further with Can-Am. I'm telling you, man, I don't care if you're hunting on a farm, hunting on a ranch, hunting out on public, cruising up and down the beach down in Baja, out in the desert in Sonora where we hunt coos deer. Riding a Can-Am is just funner than riding a vehicle. Everything about it's better. And you can check these two models out. The Defender. This is the undefeatable workhorse from Can-Am. Because like you, it never quits in the face of the toughest work. And it's got HVAC, which keeps you protected from the elements, and you enjoy the perfect temperature when it's freezing cold or real hot. Heavy-duty Rotax engine with a class-leading 69 pound-feet of torque. And check this out. Up to 2,500 pounds towing capacity. The Outlander 500 or 700. This is an all-capable workhorse. Nothing you can't overcome. HD5, HD7 engines that power through any job. Engineered with the strength, features, and build to never let you down. So you're getting reliability and a quality build ready for any job with 125 accessory options. To find your next Can-Am or to shop online, visit canamoffroad.com/hunting.
Question 6. The topic is public lands. The Trail of Tears National Historic Trail passes through 9 states. Name 3 of them. The Trail of Tears, National Historic Trail, passes through 9 states. Name 3 of them.
I know you don't like this kind of question, but are you the word through?
Mm-hmm.
Does that mean it?
There is no question about it passing through a state from this list. This is
It has to completely cross through.
It doesn't have to go from like a northern border to a southern border.
How about an eastern border to a western border?
Hey, Steve, you're out of the game.
If it goes 1 mile into that state, it passes through that state.
Oh.
This is according to the National Park Service. Again, the Trail of Tears National Historic Trail passes through 9 states. Name 3 of them. How we doing over there, Randall?
Pretty good.
Dan, are you going to get this one right?
I think I will.
Okay. You're the only one who looks confident right now. Brody? Okay. I almost asked you to name 4 of the states. Good thing I kept it at 3. The room looks stumped. Steve, how we doing? You have 3 states?
I do.
Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Oklahoma, Tennessee, North Carolina. Dan saying Oklahoma, Texas, Colorado. Brody saying Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas. Corinne saying Montana, North Dakota, Wyoming. Cal saying Oklahoma, Florida, Texas. Seth saying Missouri, Arkansas, Oklahoma. Randall saying Georgia, Alabama, Oklahoma. Giannis saying Oklahoma, Arkansas, Texas. The 9 states are Alabama, Georgia, Illinois, Kentucky, Missouri, North Carolina, Oklahoma, and Tennessee. How'd the room do there, Phil?
I think only 2 people. Randall got it and Steve got it.
Wow.
Yeah, buddy.
It's a tough question.
Randall.
Dr. Randall.
Why was I thinking they ended in Florida?
I don't know. Ended in Oklahoma. Oklahoma was a popular answer there. I think almost everybody provided that as one of them.
What was the Shelby Index?
3.5. Winners should get 7. The Trail of Tears National Historic Trail, which is managed by the Park Service, commemorates the forced removal of Cherokees from their homeland. The path follows the route that 17 Cherokee detachments used from the southeast to Oklahoma. It's estimated that about 100,000 Native Americans traveled the Trail of Tears between 1830 and 1850. Question 7. The topic is woodsmanship. This is our listener question of the week, which was won by Leland Hart for sending this great question. Leland is going to get a book signed by Steve. The Missouri Department of Conservation declared this bird Hollywood's voice of choice because of how often its scream is used in cinema. The Missouri Department of Conservation declared this bird Hollywood's voice of choice because of how often its scream is used in cinema.
God, I want to have such a dramatic comeback, dude.
It could happen.
It's like I want it so bad. It's like I could taste it.
What's going on behind you there?
Corinne bumped those carrying squid by.
I want to take Randall's face. And you know what oak
could go a lot of directions.
What's that plant that we used to think would be a great thing to beat people with? And then someone sent me some in
Ocotillo.
Like someone sent me these Ocotillos all dried out, set in antler handles for whooping.
Wow.
I want to whoop his face with that thing.
Why are you so mad at Randall?
Because I used to win all the time, and then he started coming all the time. And now, just to mess with me, I never get invited if he's not here.
Well, I like that you're focusing your rage on him and not me.
He's winning right now.
Steve doesn't like doctors. Again, the question is the Missouri.
Never get to come down here without you sitting in the same stupid place and him down there too, ever.
The Missouri Department of Conservation declared this bird Hollywood's voice of choice because of how often its scream is used in cinema. Does everybody answer?
Can I try to do
it? I don't do the scheduling.
A mouth call version?
Give it a shot after we reveal their answers. Cal, turn your board the other way.
Well, I mean,
folks can see. Are we ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying red-tailed hawk.
Oh, no.
Dan saying hawk. Brody saying red-tailed hawk. Corinne sang macaw. Cal sang red-tailed hawk.
From Missouri.
Seth sang red-tailed hawk. Oh. Randall sang sharp-tailed hawk.
No.
Giannis sang red-tailed hawk. The correct answer is red-tailed hawk.
Can I do the little tidbit? They often put it over a bald eagle for some reason.
Yeah, the raspy scream of red-tailed hawks are often dubbed over clips that show other birds in flight, like eagles and vultures. The purpose of the screech is to defend their territory and let other hawks know to stay away. Although I'm sure your imagination is strong enough to hear their call, here it is anyway.
Can I hit you with another little tidbit?
What do you got?
And Jeremiah Johnson, you hear Red Tail Hawk. He says, Red Tail Hawk, he'll be to the muscle shell in hell. He's there already.
Explain that to me.
He's right. Watching a Red Tail Hawk.
Okay.
Birds can travel faster than people. Mm-hmm.
Spencer.
Do you guys remember the Masters controversy? Do you remember that one?
The
piped in bird noise.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And they put the wrong bird in.
This is the only time I've been very proud of people who watch golf.
Well, listen, as a person who used to sound design for outdoor TV shows, I'm very sympathetic to that. And also that red-tailed hawk, I mean, it's just invaluable resource. Just cut to just like an open desert area. Yeah.
Dan, if you're ever doing a satirical show, you should really test the boundary of that and like show a blue jay. And then do a red-tailed hawk scream.
Or a macaw.
Well, no, because a blue jay can do a red-tailed hawk scream. So you know what?
They do have kind of a
false.
Fierce call.
Dan, have you ever been acted in a Western?
No, I've never acted in a Western. I did play Falafel Phil on the Disney Channel, though.
Ah. The next Western you're in, I bet it will have a red-tailed hawk.
I get credit for hawk, right?
I don't think we're going to
get
it.
Wait, really?
No way. Dozens of kinds of hawks.
Wait, hold on a second. Guys, this is not right. The fact that
you're going to lose this argument, man.
Dan, right now, name three hawks.
Red tail hawk. That hawk that he But that's what I'm saying. For someone who doesn't know hawks, I knew that it was a hawk.
Spencer will often say, when it's an animal question.
I should
question,
have offered clarification.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you think it's a deer, you need to say white-tailed deer.
Can I tell you something?
You can.
If I had to guess, I swear to God I would have guessed red-tailed hawk because I live in L.A. where there's a ton of red-tailed hawks on my
hike. Well, you did have
hike.
To guess.
No, but I guess.
How many points does he have, Phil?
I didn't know I need the genus and the species.
Phil, how many points does he have?
He has three.
We'll give it to him. You get it right.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
I say give it to him. We accepted three different answers for matzo ball soup.
Yes. I mean, and I was the only one who got it actually right. I wasn't yelling at you. No, there's no noodles in chicken soup. No, I allowed it.
Okay, he gets hot.
Yeah. Question eight.
That's a good
the
point.
Topic is hunting. What turkey?
This is going to mess up my deal because I needed him to be out at 8.
We'll find out. I'm guessing he still is. We have question 8.
It's going to be tight.
What turkey subspecies has the second most entries in the National Wild Turkey Federation's record book? What turkey subspecies has the second most entries in the National Wild Turkey Federation's record book? Confident answer from Brody.
This should be multiple choice.
The rest of the room not as confident.
I don't agree with turkey record books, but I'm pretty confident.
Can you read it one more time?
Here
I'm sorry.
It is. What turkey subspecies has the second most entries in the National Wild Turkey Federation's record book? Brody, why don't you like turkey record books?
It's
when you're looking at a turkey strutting in a field 40 yards away. There is no turkey hunter on the face of the planet that's like, I think his spurs are 2, his beard's maybe 11.
Yeah.
No, I'm going to pass on him.
There are a few controversial
he's
hunters.
Jealous. He's jealous because I'll just come out and say it. I killed an exceptional turkey this spring, and when he came in, all I could see was spurs.
Yeah.
I was blinded. I was just nothing but spurs.
I'm jealous of your slam, but I'm not jealous of that.
Inch and 5/8.
Brody, are you familiar with the Bomars at all?
The people who got in big trouble?
Yes. A lot of reasons not to like them, but one of them that they caught a lot of hell for a few years ago was they were on a video sitting in a blind and some like mature toms roll in and they're like, we think those are 2.5-year-old birds, and they don't shoot them for that reason. So, Brody, there are a couple folks in the world who go to that level of turkey hunting.
Yeah, but it's those folks.
It
so
is.
Who cares?
You're right. Does everybody have an answer? What do you got?
I don't want to. Well, nothing.
Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Rios. Dan saying Butterball. Brody saying Rio. Corinne saying Oscillated. Cal saying Rio. Seth saying Rio. Randall saying Miriam's. Giannis saying Miriam's. The correct answer is Rio Grande.
Oh, yeah,
a few
Texas,
folks
dude.
Got it right. There are 13,000 entries in the NWTF record book for Eastern Turkeys. That's followed by Rio's at 6,000. Miriam's at 5,500. Florida Ooh. At 5,000.
That was a narrow
Gould's
cut.
At 1,500 and Oscillated at 1,000. Their record book program started in 1982.
Do they have different...
you boys got lucky on that
one. Do they have different
one?
Standards no. for the different...
Well, he just said something stupid.
You know, what's like, because Miriam's all have dinky spurs, right?
What's the stupid thing?
Is it one standard or is it like...
Well, you
I don't think they even have a minimum.
An oscillated isn't a subspecies. So you should have said, like, and stepping outside of that species.
Okay. Stepping outside of that the subspecies, the oscillated species has 1,000 entries. Not in the top four.
Keeping them honest.
Where's Butterball?
Phil, we have two questions left. Is Dan out of the game?
Yes, Dan Adude is out of the game. But, for a guest, he's got 4 points. That's mm-hmm. a pretty solid score. Yep. Corinne, Giannis, Dan, and Cal have all been eliminated from the running.
Oh, yeah, good company.
I'm in very good company.
Yes, I feel are. Like maybe one of my scores didn't get written down.
Yeah, I'll double check. Seth has 5 points. Stephen Randall have 6. And in first place is Brody Henderson with 7 points.
7 points, two questions left. Question 9, the topic is fishing.
I know what you're thinking, Dr.
You're coming
Randall.
At the wrong guy here.
This next great question comes to us via Caitlin Trout. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Pyramid Lake, which is located in this state, is famous for its trout fishing style where anglers stand on top of ladders. Pyramid Lake, which is located in this state, is famous for its trout fishing style where anglers stand on top of ladders. Brody, do you know this one?
50-50.
A quick answer from Brody. Cal, you look like you maybe know it.
Oh, I know it.
Okay.
I actually think I know this one.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, Dan, you can keep playing too.
Keep down the chat.
And I mean, for the record, you don't have to be in this state to stand on a ladder and fish.
It's quite common though at Pyramid Lake. How are we doing? Does everybody have an answer? Steve, you have a shot at this one?
Can you read both mine?
We can do that. Is everybody ready? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Idaho. He crossed out California. Dan saying Nevada. Brody saying Nevada. Corinne saying Idaho. Cal saying Nevada. Seth saying Nevada. Randall saying Nevada. Giannis saying Nevada. They got it. The correct answer is Nevada.
Woo.
Anglers on Pyramid win. Lake using ladders are often after the famous Lahontan cutthroat trout, a fish that was once thought to be extinct. People used to sink milk crates there to stand on, which they'd mark with a floating duck decoy. Now most use ladders, some of which are specifically designed for fishermen. Yeah. Cal, have you ever been there?
Yeah. Yep. Caught a couple of nice fish too. Mm. And saw some like monsters also that got helped to do the land one.
Mm-hmm. I think that strain of cutthroat used to hit like 60 pounds or something like that.
Commercially trucked over on like wagon trains to the California side, Tahoe, those cities.
For food.
For food, yeah. Really cool conservation story that the tribe's doing over there. But there is a perch in that lake that I am dying to go back there and try to catch.
Yeah. Phil, we have one question left.
By the way,
the leaderboard
can I just clarify?
What do you got?
I am cheating off of Brody now. So I had no idea it was Nevada. Okay. But I am cheating, and I want to thank Brody for...
You're quite welcome.
For the ladder.
Phil, where do we stand?
It's down to Brody and Randall. Brody has 8 points, and Randall has 7.
Okay.
Well, this is exciting.
Yeah.
Question 10, the topic is cooking. According to a 2014 survey, most Americans want their steak cooked to this doneness.
Weird. Oh. Can everybody look at Randall's face? He's very serious.
According to a 2014 survey, most Americans want their steak cooked to this doneness. Again, we need Brody to get this wrong and Randall to get this right to go to overtime. They're the only two left in the game.
I already wrote mine down, Brody. Give me a little look what you got.
I don't think he has anything yet.
I'm waffling on what to do.
Don't give him any hints here, Steve.
Not saying a thing.
Steve, you want to see Randall's board now, too, so you can take it all in.
What you got going on?
Again, according to a 2014 survey, most Americans want their steak cooked to this doneness.
Dude, if I was still in, man, God, I'd be stressing out right now.
I'm very stressed.
Again, Brody has to get this wrong.
I can smell
Randall
the perspiration.
Randall has to get this right. Brody, are we ready?
Yeah.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying medium rare. Dan saying well done. Brody saying medium rare. Corinne saying medium rare. Cal saying medium. Seth saying medium.
Randall going very bold.
Randall
medium
saying
well.
Medium well.
I don't
Giannis
know.
Giannis saying medium
weird.
Rare.
What's like below a doctor? Like adjunct or what? Why do you do that?
One of you two has the correct answer between Brody and Randall.
It's Brody.
It's Brody.
The correct answer is medium rare. Brody
God.
Is our winner
Brody
with
just
nine correct answers.
Incredibly dominant
answers.
Force, man.
That's in that
incredibly
survey.
Dominant force. That, if I ran a nonprofit, I would be sending Brody flowers and shit because the amount of money he'd be able to channel my way.
You'd be in cahoots just with him.
Only if I'm playing this game.
Dominating force, man.
Did you put a dollar in?
I'm very surprised
you
by that answer.
For me.
In that survey, 38% of Americans said they want their steak cooked to medium rare. That's followed by medium at 31%, medium well at 17%, well at 8%, and rare at 5%. A similar study also found that steak orders can tell you a lot about a person's politics. About 30% of Republicans order their steak medium rare compared to just 19% of Democrats. The other biggest gap was with well-done steaks, which is how 27% of Democrats order steak compared to 21% of Republicans.
I love that stat because of how much Democrats have gluten problems relative to Republicans.
Mm-hmm. Medium rare, more likely they're Republican. Well done, more likely they're a Democrat.
I would like to have a whole book of stuff like that.
That's hilarious.
Brody, where is the $500 donation from Meat Eater going to go?
You know what I'd like to see in that book, and I don't even know the truth? Which is more likely to think they have a ghost in their house?
I don't think there's any question. Yeah, it's gotta be.
I don't know. That's a tough one.
I guarantee a Democrat is more likely to
definitely
think they got a ghost in their house.
I would feel like it's more like which party is more religious, which would seem to lean Republican.
Sure. But there's a mutual exclusivity between ghosts and monotheism.
We're not necessarily talking about the Holy Ghost here. We're talking about like
that old lady that died in the chair.
Dan, you seem to have some thoughts on this. Where were you going to lean?
I think Democrats are probably more likely to believe in ghosts, but I think Republicans are more likely to think there's a ghost
that,
in their house.
That and seems like shoot. The right answer. Brody, the $500 donation, where's it going to go?
Meat Eater Land Access Initiative.
Couple episodes in a row there going to the LAI. That pot needs some money. We have a big project coming up this year, right?
Dominating force. It's like, I don't understand it.
Dominating.
Smart guy.
Dan,
no,
you did
it's
well.
Not that. It's not that.
It looks like the pile of money is already gone, though. Did Brody pocket that?
I gave it to Brody.
Oh, man, that was quick. We didn't even get to end the show.
God, I was walking with a little bit of coffee money.
Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill.
Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill. I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase.